Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Welcome to Money Moves. This is a show that helps you take control of your financial life. No jargon, no judgment, just actionable financial advice. I'm Jill Schlesinger. I'm joined by Mark Talercio.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Mark. Are you happy now?
Oh, my goodness. Much happier.
Okay. Mark and the deputy overlord wanted to try a new setup. In fact, when he conceived what the show might look like, he just showed us a picture of it before. I did not care. You know, I am just the easygoing hostess here. You know, that's it. Hey, Mark, have you read the book Strangers by Bell Burton? We're a little late to talking about this, but there's a reason we're doing it now.
I didn't read it, but here's what I did do. Earlier in the year, I was on a flight back from Europe, and this book was everywhere. Like, it was making the rounds. Like,
yes.
It is a massive bestseller. So I downloaded the audiobook. And on my flight back from Europe, I listened to the whole thing.
Wait, did she do the audio?
Yeah, it was her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bell Burton, she's the author. It is a memoir. It is a tale that is woven in such a way that's like, my ex-husband mm-hmm. is a complete asshole. He kind of bilked me out of money. I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, you ladies out there, you need to be worried. Is that about right?
Yeah, but I think, you know, since the book has come out, there's been a lot of stories about the book and about her. And maybe things weren't quite as dire as she portrayed in the book, financially speaking.
Yeah, I want to just recount this because there was an article in The New Yorker about this. And producer Isaac is all over this. She is the beneficiary of a trust. Mm-hmm. She signed a prenup with this dude. The interesting thing, we've talked about prenups before, and I love a prenup. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's fine. The prenup that she signed did not seem so bad to me because essentially what it did was it kind of split their lives out. And it said that she continues to receive the income from the trusts and any money she had. And then he receives the income that he generates as from the money that he accumulates and then, you know, that wealth in those accounts, he keeps that. And that's about right, isn't it?
By and large, yeah.
Here's what the book seemed to have left out that this New Yorker article was recounting, which is, so she is total old money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like $63 million,
right? Yeah. So she's a descendant on her father's side of Cornelius Vanderbilt. Have you watched The Gilded Age? Just watch that. That's what it is.
Tried it.
Railroad and shipping titan, Cornelius Vanderbilt. Mother's side, Henry Morgan Tilford, one of the founders of Standard Oil. Mm. Her maternal grandmother was socialite Babe Paley. And she does appear to be the beneficiary of two trusts combined worth $63 million. Anyway, he was an attorney. He then goes into private equity. He makes a lot of money. She uses money from the trust to buy a house in Martha's Vineyard. And so, Mark, what do you take from this? Like, should I feel bad for poor Belle? Should we be, you know, kind of ringing the bell and saying, like, Belle, come on, that's no good.
I don't even think that's like the overall issue. Whether you like the book, don't like the book, believe the book, don't believe the book, you know, think she was misleading, whatever. I think the bigger issue is that what the book brings up, and that is the importance of having conversations. And, you know, when you're in a relationship, knowledge is power, right? You got to know what's going on with each other.
I think that it's interesting to be somebody with so much means and not really focusing on the legal aspects of your prenup. So I also want to be clear that just because you are either trained as a lawyer, have a lawyer, it doesn't mean you can like outsource all of this work. And I mean that, as Mark said, you've got to have conversations, but you also have to really look through a document and see what it says. And I say this all the time with people when I talk about like your estate documents. You talked to the attorney, you went through this. Okay, great. Or you have a divorce decree and you think it's all set. Or you have a contract with an employer and you think everything is all hunky-dory. No, you've got to read through it. It's a pain in the ass. I get it. I don't feel bad for her. I feel like she's a good writer. She spun a tale. There is an aspect of all of this that is revisionist history. But if I could boil it down to the only thing that you take from this is having conversations and understanding how much money both of you are bringing into the marriage, the emotional baggage you're bringing into the marriage around money, and what you think your future looks like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Like, that is a good takeaway from this kind of a memoir. So look, I know, old money, 10th of 1% problems, takeaway, know what is going on in your financial life and how your coupledom will be impacted by the decisions you make. Okay, we are excited. We have a jillionaire first, Mark. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Hello, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. So I know you got a lot going on there. I want to see what we can do to help you out as efficiently as possible. Tell us what's happening.
All right. So I'm hoping you can weigh in on a little bit of a marital disagreement, we'll say. My husband and I have differing views on our future. So my husband thinks we can buy the big house, you know, all the holidays and sleepovers type of house. And I definitely think we should stay where we're at based on our financial situation. So I think it would behoove us if we could hear from Aunt Jill and Uncle Mark and see what we should do and can do.
Okay, here's a big question. Are you busting at the seams in this house? Because Mark, obviously, if this is like, oh, we have 16 kids and we started with one, but are you okay in the current home?
It is annoying, but we're not, you know, busting out. It's just more of an inconvenience.
Okay, you ready for the most important question? The current house, how much is it worth?
We bought it for $150. I think we could sell it for probably close to $300.
Wow.
Nice.
And what about a mortgage outstanding on it?
Outstanding mortgage is $100,000 at 3.5%.
Give us a general sense of like just how much you can actually put away every month.
I would say for me, I probably on a yearly basis do like just like $50,000 investing. And then I also have like my retirements through work.
But the retirement accounts, you both are maxing out?
I'm maxing out. He's at 12%. His company fully matches, though. So it's kind of like a different situation.
Okay.
And how old are you guys?
I'm 31. He's 30.
So, I mean, you're in really good shape. What's his compulsion with the big house? And how much do we have to spend on that house? Like, if he wanted to be in the place where he would be happy and really like that, the next phase house for a long time, how much would that cost?
I would say what we're looking at is like 500 to 600, which is really gross to me, but the market's changed so much since we bought our house.
Mark, what do you think about this? Do you want to get, first of all, I'm so sad. I don't want to give up a 3.5% mortgage.
Yeah, I get that. This is more about lifestyle. I mean, number wise, Megan, just based on what you told us and how much money you are saving beyond retirement contributions at work, you guys financially could definitely afford to do this. You got some nice equity built up in your current home already. So there's the down payment. But yeah, I think this comes down to a conversation between you and your husband, because financially you can do it.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. What makes you nuts about this? Is this just like, I don't like the fact of being like spending this much money? Or is it I'm comfortable where I am? Like, can you get behind this?
You can do this, Megan. You may not be saving $50,000 extra every year. It might be more like, you know, $30,000, but that's still an unbelievable savings rate.
Like, even if you spent $600 on the house, okay? Let's say you spent $600 on the house and you took the equity that you currently have. You take, like, that $200,000, which is even more than 20%, which is, you know, and you have a $400,000 note. It's at 7% and your payment goes up. As Mark says, it's probably bigger house, higher household expenses associated with that, homeowners insurance more, property taxes more. But at the end of the day, you can afford it. You won't save as much, and that may freak you out. But could you live with doing this if we could prove to you that you can still save for retirement, still save some extra money, and be fine? Or are you just emotionally against it?
I guess I didn't know on paper that we could afford it. Like, I guess you're saying it and I believe you, but it's those extra costs that concern me.
Here's something to do. Let me give you the thing that would be great. Presume you're going to buy a $600,000 house, okay? And to prove it to yourself that you can do this, you're going to just go online. It's very easy to do. You're going to say, I'm going to have a $400,000 mortgage at 7%, 30-year fix. Just do that. It could be like, you may not even need to do that, but that'll give you the highest payment. Go find out from a realtor in your hood just how much it would cost in property taxes. Talk to your insurance agent. Find out how much the homeowners would cost. Inflate the utility bill that you have right now by, I don't know, what do you say, Mark, 20-25%?
Probably.
All right, so look at all of your internal household expenses, anything is like the lawn care, the this, the that, just pop that up by 25%. You're going to just crunch some numbers, where we are today and where we would be. So let's pretend that all of your costs in the current house, let's make something up. Let's say it's, I don't know, Mark, what do you think? It's probably like $3,000 maybe?
Yeah, $3,500.
Let's say $3,500 all in on the current home. And let's pretend that if you got the $600,000 house, that would make him so happy, Mark. All we want to do is make him happy. No, we want to make you happy also. But let's pretend the $600,000, you went from $3,500 to $6,000. Okay? That freaks you out, right?
For sure.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm laughing because it's understandable. But if that extra $2,500 a month just means that you couldn't save $50,000. You would still save, right, Mark? But just not as much.
Yeah, and it's not like going to be completely coming out of her side of the finances too. I mean, you guys are in this together. So you're still going to be saving money. Do you have an estimate as to how much he has socked away in his various retirement accounts? Just ballpark?
His retirement's at 230 and his brokerage is at 50.
I mean you guys are like 30 years old and combined you have $500,000.
Yeah, it's incredible. You're in great shape. And she's going to say, yeah, you know why? Because we're socking away all this money every year.
You'll still be saving.
Do you come from a household, you personally, Megan, where things were a little stressful financially?
Not necessarily. I came from a household where having a rich life meant having choices and saving. Having options.
Yeah.
So not even using the options, just having them.
Okay. That's very interesting. I mean, I like having options also, but I like you guys living and having your life as well. And, you know, how many bathrooms in this house?
My current house?
Yeah.
2.5.
Oh, that's not bad. So, I mean, look, I think you can do it. Let's make a pinky swear here. Why don't you run the numbers? Okay. Just run the numbers for what it is right now. You know, if it's like an extra $4,000 a month, then you're not going to be happy with that. But if we're talking about $2,000 or $2,500 a month, then I think we can get you comfortable with that. Right, Mark?
I was just playing with the handy dandy calculator based on what they have right now. And I'm just assuming, Megan, I don't know what your goals are, but I just put in, you know, age 60. So another 30 years. And I put your total savings between you and your husband at $40,000 a year. Okay, that's very conservative based on what you're doing. That's retirement accounts and everything. $40,000 a year. You're probably going to do more. And if you did that for the next 30 years, you're going to have several million dollars.
But I guess the bigger issue, Megan, that I see is that it's something that we know happens between couples, which is one tends to be a little bit more risk averse when it comes to like the future, and the other might be a little more aggressive. He might be more aggressive, but you know, I think you can come together and have a conversation about it. And maybe for him, you could say, hey, babe, like if we do this new house, just know that we're working till we're 60. If we don't, if we stay where we are and keep socking money away, maybe we could do 50. So, you know, opportunity cost is something that is also important here, that if he is doing something he loves, he might be like, I don't care, I'll do it forever. But if you are especially nervous about your career or wanting to have options to retire early, then obviously the Megan side of the coin makes more sense.
But also don't. I mean, this is a tough one. I kind of, you know, based on the facts that I know, I'm kind of with the husband on this one, because you only live once and you don't, you know, don't deprive yourself. You guys are in really, really good shape right now. Really good shape. Like you can financially afford to do this and you're not going to be derailing your financial life.
Megan, if we come back, you can come back on. We'll give you a free pass to come back on and we can talk it through. But why don't you run some numbers? Maybe that will give you some comfort. I think that is probably the best bet, because if you can't get comfortable with this, you're obviously not going to do it. And by the way, I think it is important that they both feel comfortable with
this. Yeah, and there's no real compromise, right? Because you don't want to, like, you know, get a house that you're not in love with just to compromise in the middle and buy something less expensive. Then you're just going to be right back to square one.
No. So I say, Megan, let's run some numbers. Let's make marital bliss right here. We are not marriage therapists, but we could be.
I've been in a similar situation. You know, we made some big purchases, two of them now. And, you know, it was always my wife who was really like, she was playing the role of Megan's husband in our scenario.
Yeah.
And I was Megan.
Yeah, because you're the Nona.
But eventually, you know, I got on board with it. And you know what? Everything turned out fine.
Yeah. I think that like when you run the numbers, you do feel more confident in being able to do that. So Megan, we wish you the very best of luck and come back on. Take a deep breath. We're here for you, whatever you need. Okay, Mark, you ready for your TikTok takedown for today?
I hope it's one that we actually can sign off on.
I want a good one. Let's go, roll it.
I'm 37 years old and I'm done saving for retirement. Let's get into the math. I have been saving diligently for retirement ever since I got my first job right out of college. I've always contributed to my 401k, and in the last few years, I've maxed out all my retirement accounts. Here's the numbers. I currently have $11,514 in my Roth IRA, and that is so low because I wasn't hip to the Roth game in my 20s. The first time I contributed was actually the only year that I was eligible before I got too much income and could no longer contribute. In my HSA, I have $32,424. The HSA is a health savings account. It's triple tax benefits, and I like to call it my little nurse fund for when I get older. My traditional IRA, I have $110,142. It started with a rollover IRA from an old job, and then I continually add to it every year. In my 401k, which I do have a company match, I have $401,424. That brings my grand total to $555,504. I'm so proud of myself. That's like 15 years worth of saving money. If I never contribute another dollar to my retirement accounts, I will have $2.64 million in there at the age of 60. That means when I do retire at 60, I can take out $105,000 a year and live off of that in retirement. And the truth is, this will last me well past 95 years old. So I will still probably die with millions of dollars. So that means, am I done saving for retirement? Technically, yes. Will I stop? No. I am going to stop contributing to my traditional IRA. Instead, I'm going to put that money into an after-tax brokerage account because that money is easier to access earlier. I am going to continue to contribute to my 401k, but instead of maxing it out, I'm just going to do 6%, which will help me reach my company match. because we don't leave free money on the table ever, ever. And then as far as my HSA, I'm still going to contribute to that. It's a specific type of healthcare savings that will help me in the future if I need to go on a nursing home or if I need home health aid. But at the end of the day, it's nice knowing that like I'm good. After 60, I'm going to have a six-figure income from all the hard work I did in my first 15 years of working. Pretty good.
I love her. This may be the best one yet.
Oh, easily.
Because it's actually like pretty rational.
Yeah, did she say what she spends? I don't think she did.
No, that's the one missing piece.
But if that number works for her, then great.
I mean, $105,000, just so we are all clear, her math does work, except that if whatever you spend today, you do have to inflate that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if she's like, I'm cool, I spend $100,000 a year today and I'll have $105,000 in the future, then the math does not work. Right. However, here's the great part. She does break it down. She talks about, like, here's my money. I wish I had more in the Roth. I didn't do the Roth in time. She talks about the brokerage account. I like her vibe. I like that she's doing the math. I like that she's thinking about the future. I guess for me, for the 401k, I would just do the Roth 401k.
100%.
And that's the only thing. Like, instead of doing the brokerage account, she's got some money in brokerage. It's fine. But I would also maybe even, like, just be clear that if you are doing so well right now, why pull back anyway?
Like, keep going.
And maybe you can retire slightly before age 60.
I
mean,
definitely the best one we've seen. I will say she's only 37, right? You know, a lot can happen between now and then.
Yep.
So you got to be able to adjust and pivot and, you know, keep checking in. But the best one we've had yet.
Yeah. And she doesn't even factor in Social Security.
Right.
So even if we take a big haircut on Social Security, because the system runs through the trust fund, you know, it'll be, let's say, 20% less. So I think she's in great shape. I like this. I love the glasses. So everybody, if you could just get those yellow glasses, I think you too will be on track for your retirement. I mean, Mark, it is so awesome to end on a positive note, and I love that. But of course, we know that you're running across a lot of social videos that freaking you out and are a little bit too good to be true. Send them to us. Go to JillOnMoney.com. Click the contact us button, upload that video so we have them. We really want to see that. We want to see what you're seeing, and we want to try to make sense of that for you. Okay, well, thanks so much for watching. We come to the end of the program. We'd like to thank everyone who brings the show to you. We really, really do appreciate you. Follow us, like us, promote us, do all the things that will keep us on the air. Everybody, I need your help. Let's build the show. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.